Thanks very much. I'm going to talk tonight about a term, a very odd term, that can give us an insight into how God can use us when we seem to be yelling into the wind, and how God can use us sometimes to shift our country. The term is the Overton window, and I don't know how many people here are familiar with Glenn Beck. He's very big in the United States. One? Okay, a few people. Yeah, he wrote a novel called The Overton Window, and it was such an odd term that before I even wanted to see what the book was about, I wanted to know what the title meant. So I ended up Googling it, and it turned out The Overton Window is a term coined by a fellow named Joseph Overton. These guys like to name things after themselves. He used it to describe how an idea presented to the public will fall somewhere on a spectrum of acceptability. So here, let's see if I point this in the right direction. Here is Mr. Overton's spectrum. On the far left and the far right, we have unthinkable ideas. And as you gravitate in towards the middle, things start becoming a little bit more thinkable. They become radical, acceptable, sensible. Then they're just getting really popular. And finally, so popular that everybody likes them, and they become policy. A politician, you'll find during this election that politicians basically focus their talks on the ideas that fall in this blue area. They don't want to talk about things that are too far outside of this spectrum, because no politician wants to sound radical. They don't want to start introducing ideas that make them sound like kooks. So anything that falls outside this window of acceptability is not really something you talk about in polite company. So if an idea can be pushed into the unthinkable range, it's not even debated anymore. To bring it up is to make yourself sound like an idiot. So when we look at an issue like abortion, we can see how different responses to abortion will fall on this spectrum. Here we're looking at it, how the abortion battle is being waged in the U.S. So on the one side, we have this extreme pro-choice position that is unthinkable, aborting a fetus because it's a girl. Now, in some places, it's not unthinkable. In India and in China, they'll do that. But in the United States, no one's advocating for that, not even the most radical pro-choice politicians like a Hillary Clinton, for example. Repeat abortions also, not acceptable. But somewhere in the middle here, we start getting ideas that fall within the political spectrum where politicians will bring them up. And some of these, partial birth abortion, ban. Partial birth abortion is where they basically deliver the baby except for one tiny piece, a foot, a hand, leave it in the mother, and then they kill it. They have banned that in the United States. 72-hour waiting period in some states. In one state, it just passed. Now, a mother who wants an abortion has to wait 72 hours before she can get it, and that's shown dramatic decreases in the number of abortions that happen. So these are steps that have been taken in the U.S. because they fall within this more acceptable range. But if we look at what's happening with abortion in Canada, just about anything that would restrict abortion in Canada falls into the unthinkable range. We don't talk about abortion in Canada. So our opponents have successfully shifted our views, God's truth on the humanity of the unborn, into a spot where should any politician bring up the topic with any seriousness, he'll be taken for a kook. A daring politician might bring up ideas that are merely acceptable, but most of them are only talking about the sensible, the popular, and the policy things. I bring up the Overton window because it's a very useful tool to give us an insight into measuring what we can do to shift our nation. We're trying to change hearts and minds on issues like the protection of the unborn, on marriage, on restorative justice, human rights commissions. We want to shift this Overton window so that ideas that have once been thought unthinkable are thought by the Canadian public to be not just thinkable, they're thought to be common sense. That's how we want to shift our nation. So how do we make this shift? How do we shift this Overton window? There are two ways, and both of them involve talking. So the first, speaking the unthinkable makes it less so. Now, if a teenage girl wants her parents to change her curfew, she's going to bed at, or she has to be home at 10, she wants to try for 12, it might be a good idea for her to ask a little bit of an overshoot. Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, can I stay out till 2? Cindy can stay out till 2. Bobby can stay out till 2. And if she makes the case for 2, she might just shift her parents to the point where they think 12 sounds kind of reasonable. She's not going to get 2. We all know it. But by taking a more extreme position than she actually held to, she could pull her parents to where she wants them to be. We can do something like that too. Now, we're not going to exaggerate our positions like this girl, because lying is not really an option open to Christians. But we can take inspiration from her, and we can speak out fearlessly on our most unthinkable ideas. So if we're vocal and if we're heard, we can pull the public towards us, even if we don't bring them all the way over. So, for example, if in our day-to-day lives we all start wearing pro-life shirts, and during an election campaign, a CHP candidate effectively makes the case for the humanity of the unborn, and if we all use ARPA Easy Mail to mail our MPs, and if we write in letters to the editor of our local newspapers, we could succeed in pulling the public enough our way that, say, a conservative MP might be able to introduce legislation for an informed consent law. Now, this is a law that would require women to be given all the facts before they have an abortion. So we're not going to be satisfied with that, obviously, but this would be a step in the right direction. Some children would be saved. It would be a step. But it's only going to happen if we're willing to speak the unthinkable fearlessly and boldly. A second way we can shift our nation is to speak the radical repeatedly. A few months ago, Sarah Palin, the one-time U.S. vice presidential candidate, brought homemade cookies for students at Pennsylvania school. She heard that there was a debate going on in these public schools whether the state should ban sweets from the high schools. Well, she said, who should be deciding what I eat? Should it be the government or should it be parents? It should be parents. That a child's parents should make their nutritional decisions rather than the government or some arm of the government with the education. It's not an extreme position. But unless, like Palin, we speak truth repeatedly, repetitively, publicly, and repeatedly, and repetitively, it could easily start becoming extreme. It is only by repetition that common sense remains common. Now, there are two approaches we can use to be sure we won't shift our nation in a more godly direction. We can't expect change if we won't speak. Now, that might seem so obvious as not to be worth mentioning, but it is our default. It's easier not to let our coworker know that we think homosexuality is sinful and we don't want it being taught to our children in public schools. It's easier to be quiet than to do the research to be able to speak persuasively on the humanity of the unborn. It's easier to remain ignorant about what our country's human rights commissions are up to. It's easier to be unprepared and unnoticed. It's easier not to stick out. It's easier to keep our mouth shut. It's easier, but we can't expect change if we won't ready ourselves to speak on the issues of our day intelligently and persuasively. Second, we can't expect change if we pretend to be less radical than we are. One of the reasons I brought up the Overton window is because it's a more accurate way of evaluating success than some of our more traditional measures. We sometimes get caught up in measuring success by maybe how many of our MPs got elected, maybe how many votes our guy got, maybe how many pieces of legislation our guys have passed. But there's a problem with measuring success that way. We can get more Christian MPs even as our nation becomes increasingly godless. We can pass positive pieces of legislation even as our nation drifts further and further away. But how? Well, we can do that by downplaying our Christian convictions. If we pretend we aren't radical, that our radical positions are actually, you know, quite conventional, we can get elected, but we can get elected without any mandate to make the changes that we're after. I want to note, before I bring up this next example, that the man I'm about to critique is somebody I greatly respect. He is one of the most courageous pro-life politicians in our country. I mention him because he's a current example and he's a pretty relevant example. So last year, I'm sure many people here know about this, Manitoba Conservative MP Rod Brunage proposed a piece of legislation that would make it illegal to coerce a woman to have an abortion. It was a small step forward in the abortion battle, and maybe even the smallest possible step forward, because it's only going to protect those few children who are wanted by their mothers, but who are being violently threatened by their fathers. But that's still a step. Small, but a step. But it wasn't sold as pro-life legislation. Brunage is quoted in WorldNet Daily as saying his bill doesn't have any bearing on access to abortion. He noted, "That is not related to this bill. Access to abortion in Canada is in all 9 months. This bill doesn't have any bearing on that. This bill is neither pro-life nor pro-abortion." Now, as we know, anything related to abortion in Canada would fall into the radical, unthinkable range of the Overton window. But if the public took Brunage at his word and believed that the bill had nothing to do with abortion, it might fall into the acceptable range. And that's where you would want proposed legislation to fall. If it falls into the acceptable range, there's a chance the legislation could be passed. And if it had been passed, it would have been a victory. It would have meant the protection of children whose fathers might otherwise have pressured their mothers into having an abortion. However, because of how Brunage framed this bill, its passage wouldn't have signaled any sort of shift in our nation's attitudes towards abortion. You can't shift the public in a pro-life direction while simultaneously trying to avoid any mention of the word. So the shift we're after is going to involve pushing boundaries, being radical, bringing up the unthinkable. That's how we're going to shift hearts and minds. When we fearlessly and repeatedly and effectively present God's truth to the nation. And so to conclude, I want to encourage you to speak out in whatever place God has put you, to bring these up actively, to seek out opportunities for this, even when it seems like you're shouting against the wind. Because God uses us, and we need to equip ourselves to speak out and then speak. This is a task we all need to take on.